Question is, do we need a new gospel? I thought it was interesting this morning in Brother Claude's prayer. He mentioned people are looking for a new gospel. Now, I don't know if that means, Claude, great minds think alike, or if you peeked at my sermon before I got it this morning, because that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Do we need a new gospel? In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and verse 16, the Lord says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." You know, many people do not like old things, and they don't want to follow God in the old ways. We find today that everybody is looking for something new. Everybody is wanting something different, something more convenient, something easier in life. You know, I wonder today how today's generation would adjust if they had to live in the days when you actually had to get up and walk over to the wall that the telephone was attached to and stand there if you wanted to talk on the telephone. And I just wonder how many would adjust well to the fact if you had to get up out of your chair and walk over to the TV and turn it on and go over there and turn up the volume or change the channels and you only had three or four to choose from. Could our generation today live with something like that? And could our generation live with the fact that when you watch TV, it looks back at you in black and white? And the biggest screen you could get was a 19-inch? That was my world. That was a lot of our people began TV that way. There were no remote controls. And our telephones hung on the wall, and you couldn't even tell it to dial a number. You couldn't even push the button. You had to put your finger in a ring and circulate several times to get a number. The house that I was born into did not have an indoor bathroom. I was about 2 when we got one. I did not have to go to the one outside, but I remember it standing there about 75 feet away from our back door. The closest thing we had to an air conditioner was a pan of ice, and you blow a fan on it. And my daddy only got that when he had to sleep in the daytime when he was working at night. I remember that new bathroom. I remember that first air conditioner. And I remember that first color TV. It was 23 inches. That was a big TV. And it didn't have a remote control. And Pat and I were already married. Well, we were able to use a phone that wouldn't attach to a wall and wire. And I have to tell you, I was ready for those new things. You know, we're really no different today. We live for change. We live in a changing world. There have been more changes in our lifetime than in any other period in the world of history. Changes in travel, changes in communication, changes in medicine, changes in education. When I graduated college in 1981, it was a degree in computer technology. When I started in it, we were using glass tubes, metal probes, and a soldering iron. When I got out of that work 18 years ago, we were using a device under a microscope that you couldn't even see with the naked eye. It was a system called ball grid array. And now it is completely outdated and gone. You know, the fact is, change happens rapidly. We want to be up to date. Almost every facet today, we're looking for something new. But you know, some things don't need to be made new. We even had people like this in the Bible times. Paul ran into some people like this in Athens, Greece, in Acts chapter 17, verse 21. "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to buy or sell or to hear some new thing." But what about our spiritual lives? Are we looking for a new gospel in our spiritual age? You know, many people think so. They look at the Bible the way it is presented to us today, and they say, oh, it's old-fashioned, it's out of date. We need a new Bible. We need a new scripture. We need a new gospel. And in fact, one church sign once said, something different, coming soon. Now what that tells me is that there are people that are supposedly in Christ who follow Christianity in their lives that are looking for something to be sugar-coated, something to be new, something to be easier for them in their Christianity. They're looking for a new message in a new age because the old message does not fit in the new age. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Do we need something new for our spiritual lives? You know, some things have never changed. For example, man's nature. Man's nature has never changed and it never will. Physically, we still have the same needs. We still have the same necessities of life from a physical standpoint. Emotionally, we still have the same desires that Adam and Eve had. We have the same impulses. We have the same passions in life. Socially, we have the same needs and the same wants. We want to be accepted. We want to be liked. Spiritually, we have the same needs as Adam and Eve had when God made them. So, man's nature has never changed. Also, man's world has never changed. Oh, some of the conditions have changed. We have new inventions. We have electricity now, which I think all of us lived up in the beginning of electricity. We have telephones that we don't have to attach to a wall and a cord anymore. We have televisions that they're so flat screen now, they mount on the wall and they're huge compared to what we had in the past. We have fast flight, we have computers, and we have technologies, and some of that has changed, but our heart has not changed. It is still the same. We are still tempted to sin, just as man always has been. The nature of temptation has always been the same. At least that's what John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. This is the way Jesus found temptation in Matthew chapter 4. These same three ways that John has mentioned here was presented to Jesus in the desert with the devil. He was tempted the same way that Adam and Eve was tempted. The flesh, the eyes, the pride. It's an old method. It worked with Adam and Eve. It didn't work with Christ, which we can be thankful for that. But it works with us today. And it will never change. And along with that, neither will the wages of sin. That's the problem. Man's problem is still sin. And the wages are always the same because sin is always there. Paul tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And there's no new sins to add to the catalog because the old ones still work. Satan has never had to change his tactics. He has never had to change his method of attack because the old way still works. Paul gives us a list of the catalog of sin in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. I want you to listen to this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. These are the same things that have plagued man since the beginning of time. It are the same things that plague man today. Nothing has changed. Men still practice them all. So this has never changed. Also, man's adversary has not changed. It will always be Satan. You know, Satan still walks about as he did in the days of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 7. Satan comes to God when the sons of God present themselves to him. And God asks Satan, Where are you coming from? And he says, I am going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth from it. Now, the original idea of this phrase means to move with the heat of haste. He moves rapidly upon the earth, looking for people that he can tempt, looking for people that he can turn away from God. So he is looking for us. Peter tells us he looks for us today. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He still uses the same schemes to deceive men today. Peter talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Jesus gives a similar warning in Matthew 7:15. He says, beware of the false prophet which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. So our adversary has not changed. He is the same as he has always been. His tricks are the same as they have always been. His tactics are the same as they have always been. And they work. So he doesn't need to change. Also, man's destiny has not changed. We have an appointment to leave this world. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Hebrew writer says, as it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But the fact is, we do have control over where our destiny lies. We can't control the fact that we are going to leave this earth. But we can control where our destiny will be. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 28 beginning. So do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So you see, nothing has really changed. It has stayed the same. We still have man's nature. It is the same. We still have the world has not changed. Temptation is still there. Man's problem has not changed. Sin is still our problem. Man's adversary has not changed. He is still the same as he has always been. And man's destiny has not changed. We still face death. So we look at all of these things. And we can trace all of these things back to Adam and Eve. They experienced all the things that I have talked about so far today. And we today have experienced all of these things that I have talked about this morning. There is nothing new. There is nothing different. Satan still works the way he always has. And man still works the way he always has. So because things have not changed in this life, let me suggest to you this morning, my friend, that the gospel does not need to be changed. For you see, God dealt with Satan a long time ago. God dealt with sin a long time ago. And He has made it possible for man to stay away from sin and to be saved and redeemed from sin. The gospel dispensation was planned from all eternity. It was planned before the foundation of the world. It was presented to man in Genesis chapter 3. And from then on, God's plan is in place. And it will be from everlasting to everlasting. The gospel does not need to be changed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel was designed to be universal. The gospel was designed for you and for me and the people who have lived before us and the people who will live after us. It was unlike the law of Moses, which was limited in its ability to deal with mankind. The New Testament has a universal appeal. It is God's last revelation to man. It is for everyone, for the Jew, for the Greek, for the every race and color on the face of the earth. Peter found this out in an unorthodox way in Acts the 10th chapter, verse 34 and 35. He was preaching to Cornelius, and while he was preaching to Cornelius, which happened to be a Gentile, the Holy Spirit came down upon Cornelius, showing Peter that God has accepted the Gentile, just as He has accepted the Jew. It says in verse 34, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The new gospel will never come. A new gospel is not needed because there is nothing new for a new gospel to battle. The old gospel can take care of the problems that are at hand. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but are the same, or some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There is never to be a new gospel. Why? Because we don't need it. The old one is still working today. The gospel still works. It still saves us from our sin. It can, through love on our part, practice of obedience on our part, staying away from the sin of the world on our part, the gospel of Christ can save us. It was capable of saving today as it was capable of saving in times past. It saved the murderers of Jesus. We can go to Acts chapter 2. Peter faced the very ones who put Jesus on the cross. And when they asked what can they do to be saved, Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the gospel of Christ that saved the men on the day of Pentecost who had put Jesus to death, and it works today. It saved Saul of Tarsus. And we have three recordings of this in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. It saved what Paul himself called the chief of sinners. He was the chief. That means that you and I are not the chief. It saved him. It can save us today as well. And it does it in the very same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Listen to this so carefully. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, in which also you received and in which you stand, which by also you are saved if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I first delivered to you, first of which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's the gospel of Christ. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And that's it. And because of that, we can have our sins forgiven. Because of that, we have a future in an eternity after this life is over. Salvation is applied through Jesus and His blood. And Paul makes this so clear in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Do we need a new gospel? No. Because the old one is doing the job. My friends, Christ is all we need. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrew writer tells us this, these very words in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. The message for a new gospel and a new age is false. Are we living in a new age? Well, technologically, probably so. But as far as the characteristic of man, no. Nothing has changed. The question is, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Are you willing to change your life through repentance of your sins? Are you willing to confess Him as Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Baptized into His death to raise to walk in newness of life. These are the necessary things for you and me today, my friends, if we want the gospel of Christ to save us. And it's the same old gospel that it has always been. Christian friend, have you walked away from Him? Have you walked away from the saving power of the gospel of Christ? Have you let the devil's schemes, his tricks, turn you around and move you into another direction? If you've let this happen to you, my friends, let me tell you, you don't need anything new. You don't need to follow some new man-made law, some new rule, something that's easier for you to follow. You need to go back to the old path, as Jeremiah has said. You need to go back to the old way, to the old gospel of Christ, the one, the original, the only one that can save you from your sins. You need the old gospel of Christ. And you can confess your faults one to another as the old gospel has told you to. And we will pray with you and for you that the thoughts and intents of your heart that you may be forgiven. No, my friends, we don't need to change the gospel. We need to let the gospel change us. And if you need to do that, do it today while we stand and sing.